This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing,
the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
Space Mountain launching,
galaxy rewinding,
what the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting,
world of other worlds for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Nate, Micah, and our buddy Calder joining us again.
Our buddy Calder. Glad to be back. Two out of 3 weeks. You should feel special.
It's been rough.
Number one overall draft pick in 2024 and quickest turnaround guest.
You mean from like one appearance to the next?
Yeah.
Probably. I would say so.
Wow. It's pretty good.
Have we ever had anybody like 2 weeks in a row? Like, it's probably the same content, though. We're talking about something different with Calder. Because tonight, we are sitting on March 26th as we record this. We're going out tonight hunting.
Yeah, season and then ends that Sunday will be
close
night, right?
to the last yep. one. I do need to get Chase out. He is not happy with me.
This will probably be my last little hoorah.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take Chase out just for a couple sets here this weekend or something.
Yeah,
I do have a few people that still want to go.
Monday night.
Monday night is?
Monday night's end. 31st, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be midnight.
Yep.
Midnight the 31st.
Unless Missouri pulls their head out of their asses and gives us a little more time.
We've said it 1,000 times.
I don't even want it right now.
I'm ready to be
What
done.
I want them to do is take a break from March 31st to June 1st.
There you go.
And give us June and July.
Yeah.
No, I want I want all the way to September.
I don't even care about that. Would you like to hunt coyotes with thermals in the summer?
Yeah.
Me too.
How much better would that be?
It'd be pretty fun.
You're not hot as a motherfucker.
Well, I mean, it's going to be hotter.
Sure.
But as aggressive they are defending pups, and I could see, like, you think you see stuff in the wintertime. I could see it just being.
Probably be a little more enjoyable.
It'd be fun.
A little less harsh weather to deal with. I'd had some pretty bad weather nights this year.
Right. I'd have to wear the old permethrin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure.
I'd be getting carried away by mosquitoes.
Yeah. But we're going to do a thermal season recap. All three of our seasons kind of. It's going to be full of stories and tactics and what we tried to do, what worked, what didn't work. You know, lots of stories, lots of like laughing at mess ups. You know, that's part of hunting.
Rabbit holes will be involved.
Rabbit holes will definitely be involved. So
I'm sure.
If you want to see us laughing at each other, by the way, hop on and watch or listen to our podcast on YouTube. And you can watch us laugh at each other and point and go, ha ha, and that sort of stuff. You know, you do get more, you get to see how we interact with each other, stuff like that.
Sure.
Plus, we're trying to push the YouTube. YouTube is, did you know YouTube is the largest podcasting platform out there now?
Really?
I just read that today.
I did not know that. Makes sense.
A video.
Podcast.
Thing.
What do you think?
A video platform.
TV.
Is the biggest podcasting platform out there.
It's TV, and it's things you want to listen to, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't have much to look at, though. We didn't bring anything setups or anything.
Yeah, well.
One of these days we'll get.
Look at this, though.
Yeah, there you go.
One of these days we'll get, like, some different cameras, maybe get some different angles or something like that at some point.
Who are you talking about, we? Because I ain't doing that.
I'm just, it would not be hard to set up, like, another
camera one, camera two.
I actually learned about a setup. I don't know where my phone is.
It's upstairs.
A setup. Shout out to actually Adam with Landon Legacy. I was talking to him, and he was telling me about there's a AI software platform where you can set up the cameras, and it automatically does the cuts for you.
There you go.
And records it that way.
Perfect. That's all we need.
But once again, I can still see it being harder than I can handle because I'm not smart.
But anyways.
But let's do our sponsors real quick.
What are we on?
Evens. This will be episode number 256. With old BC.
Athlon Optics, where we've been running them hard and putting them away wet. I don't know.
Gosh,
not really.
Hope mine's charged up. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, that's what you got batteries for. So, check them out.
We'll have them out and check out a dealer near you. Actually, they were just on the Hunting Gear podcast talking about thermals and that. So, check out Drake and Dustin on that podcast. And I'm hoping this summer we'll do a show with them about rifle scopes. So look for that. On X, use our code MWW20 for 20% off. I'm guessing, Calder, you've probably used that more than we have this year.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to show you my pins.
I would like to see them.
I want to see.
You share them
all
with me?
We were talking about that the other day. I was like, I'd like to see his pins. Just once. Just an overview of how.
I want him and Daryl to compare pins.
I'll be honest. I think Daryl might have you beat.
I think he would.
I don't know. We got four
guys. Oh, I don't know. He's got a lot of different colors in there, too.
Dude, I don't
different
know.
Different wins and different.
I don't
click,
know,
what
man.
You want to do is you want to click share all.
Yeah.
But if you heard him, what he said, different wins. So you can set up your pin on, you know, certain wins so that you know if it's a good win, a bad win. Just kind of helps you with making decisions, especially with coyote hunting when you might have dozens of properties and you're trying to decide where to go.
Helps you.
I don't have a lot of properties. I remember all mine for the most part. But when you have a lot, you don't remember what you have, what you don't have, and, you know, like, oh, crap, that one would have been a good one to go to. So that's a nice feature.
Yeah.
So check out OnX, Black Ovis. Use our code MWW10 for 10% off. Don't know what else to say. I wear my Black Ovis gear a lot for lifestyle. And I'm wearing a Black Ovis hat right now. Pretty sweet hat.
Thank you all.
And Camo Fire, check out that rotating deals. Or every 24 hours, you get a new deal. So it's pretty cool. I spent a lot of money on old Black Ovis over the years.
Absolutely. You mean Camo Fire. But, yeah. Huntworth Gear, use the code MWW15. Save yourself 15%.
I'm pretty sure they're currently running a 20% sale, FYI.
Yeah, I think they are doing a turkey deal. So yep. Get on there, save you some money. Alps Outdoors, use the code 2025, Woods Water. Save yourself 30%. I've been on there looking at camping stuff. We're going on a camping trip.
Nice.
Me and the old lady and the
children's.
Yeah. I was going to call them like crotch goblins or something, but you know, it'll be fun. Alps Outdoors. Reveal cameras by Tacticam. If you're a big turkey hunter, you might want to throw your camera out there, see what you can see. Check them out. Habitat Works.
Give Dustin a call, man. Yeah. Get 15% off any service if you mention us. 816-752-7390. Have you ever met Dustin?
He's a good dude.
Genius.
Have not.
Yeah, when it comes to
really good dude.
Property.
I don't know if he sets them up specifically for coyotes, but I'm sure he could think of something for you.
The thing about a property, though, is if it's good for deer and it's good for turkeys, it's good for
good for everything.
A healthy property is a healthy property for all wildlife.
Right.
So. And I saw he did a video the other day. It was just pages on what he would do.
His
he does
plans.
Like entry routes, exit routes, where he would put stands, certain wind. I mean, just
wealth of knowledge.
His mapping and planning is, to me, like, you know, if I were a guy who's like, I can do all the work, cool. But you don't
need
know.
A plan.
You need a plan. And I think it'd be smart to spend your money on a map and plan with Dustin. And I mean, he gives you legitimate stuff. Like, it's a binder of stuff. And I think he goes over it with you, and it's pretty sweet.
We send all our new deer hunting properties
to you think of this?
Hey, where would you start?
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, I'd put a stand here, here, and here.
He'd start a fire somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
He does like the fire.
It's a good time of year for that right now.
Yes, it is. I've been seeing a lot of fires out, actually.
Yeah.
Someone's on fire in town.
Today?
I think it might have been a house. I have no idea.
I don't think that's TSI, man.
I'm just saying it was a fire. It was definitely some black smoke in the middle of Odessa. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's okay.
Yes. We've had enough people dying in fires lately in this area, so don't need any more of that. It's no fun. Yeah. So, 2025 thermal season is coming to an end. Me personally, this was probably the best one I've had in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's been awesome.
It's been a good season.
Last year sucked, I'll be honest with you. Like I did not. I had fun last year, but just like didn't seem like I ever had a night that was just like that was fun.
Mm-hmm. It was just
the year before. I remember having like one or two nights where we're like, okay,
early
that was
in the season.
Cool. That was cool. Yeah, and then it just got worse. And I mean, we've had not great nights here and there this year. But
they've been sparse.
Yeah,
I have not been ghosted one time this year. And that happened to me several times last year where we went out on 5-6 sits and didn't see a single coyote, heard them or whatever. But we've had an opportunity to shoot a coyote every time we've been out.
Yeah.
So.
Ideally.
Overall, I would say good. Good year.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, you know, you're seeing one every set you make. But, you know, the law of averages.
Yeah.
Just not going to work.
You keep track of numbers?
We do. We first year, I think we did 186, and then we flipped over to 168, and we're
pushing. See, on YouTube, you can see me flipping Calder off right now.
We're getting close to 200 this year, so
no shit.
I think we'll be over it by the end of the season.
Since January 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you guys get after, I mean, you do a lot
January
of tournaments.
January 1st or February 1st?
February 1st.
So that's just February.
Oh, that's just thermal season.
That's just thermal.
Jesus,
yeah.
Fuck
dude,
you.
Dude, that's
fuck
impressive.
You.
But we're hunting Friday night and Saturday night most weekends.
Almost every weekend. Yeah.
We haven't been doing a whole lot in the evenings during the week, but
you do a lot of tournaments.
Yeah.
How many would you think you have done this year?
We're in a tournament every weekend for sure.
Yeah.
If not a local one, then something online.
Ten easily.
Oh yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we've done, what, two tournaments? We did Midwest, yeah, and we did Explicit.
Yep.
Oh, I did the Carrollton one.
Yeah, you did three. I did two this year.
Yep. So, I mean, it would be, I just don't know how you do it, man. Like,
it's tough.
You're not like the youngest kid guy in the world. I don't know how you guys stay up all night every night.
Well, there's been some nights where we haven't. We started out, and you know, it comes around 2 o'clock, and we're sleeping on the side of the road somewhere, and don't get up till the sun comes up, just because we're just wore out, and the coyotes aren't working too much or something. But
yeah,
but on the nights when they're on fire, it's not too hard to stay up. Hard to keep going.
Whenever you go into it and set after set after set, you got doubles coming in and you're singles, shooting, triples coming in, like that. It's so easy to stay up
for sure.
Those conditions.
You're shooting 15 plus in a night. You just keep going.
I remember the night I hunted that tournament with Corey Groff. Corey and I talked, and he had never done that either.
Right.
Hunted a full night. And so I told him, I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. 2 o'clock hits, I'm going to fall asleep.
Right.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, if we had a pullover, we will. And I'm like, okay. And then we saw 30 plus coyotes that night probably. Yeah. And I never felt tired a second. And, you know, 6 o'clock rolls around the next day, and I'm like, huh. That was,
and then you crashed.
Well, now I'm delirious. No, I need to go to bed.
I didn't crash till like noon though.
And then you can't fall asleep.
Like we hunted until 11 o'clock that day.
Yeah.
You know, day hunting, and I didn't crash. So, now that night, the grace of God got me home from that weigh-in.
Yeah. The Saturday night tournaments are much easier than the Friday nights, because if you work all day Friday and then you have to go, it's just a long time.
Yeah. But even just, I mean, hunting in general, obviously, you know, you don't have to be just a tournament hunter to enjoy it. But it was a good year. And I'll try to remember, like, what Andy had happen. He's not here. You know, he's doing the seed stuff right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yellow. That corn, 1473 Niner.
Oh, yeah.
That's got different, you know, salutations on it than this other corn. That corn grows crooked. This one's got two sets of nuts, and this one's got three. Andy, I think I nailed that. So
you could sell seed.
I could sell seed, yeah. Oh, these beans got treated with my piss and vinegar, and these beans right here got Jack Daniels on them. Is that right?
That's pretty similar.
Yeah. So
that's how Andy sells his.
Yeah. He's receiving loads of seed today. Am I wrong?
No, you are right.
He literally texted us. Just got a load.
Got a big load in.
Yeah, he received a load of seed. you can punch me next time you see me, so you know. So anyway, I'll try to remember, because we hunted together several times this year, and he's been in several tournaments too. So I'll try to remember. We should have like invited Austin or something, seeing if he wanted to come, but
yeah,
kind of last second. But let's try to start at the beginning of the season and kind of go back to, like, I wish I had my damn phone with me.
I should take notes. I should have written some stuff down.
Well, my phone, I kept track of like coyotes.
Right.
And I separated the days, and so I can usually look at that day and go, okay, we killed five that day. This is what we did.
Yeah.
I remember opening Saturday. We didn't go Friday night, which technically opened at midnight, Friday night of opening night. I'm guessing there were a lot of people out there at dark.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But so we didn't go Friday. Me and Micah and my son, Caden, went Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was a good start. Good start.
Banger.
We went on what?
Four.
Went on four sets. We should have killed six dogs. We killed four. We saw dogs at every place we went. The first two were on fire.
We went to the depredation, and we'd already hit it because we had a depredation tag.
Right.
Me, Daryl, and Andy. So we hunted it early, like a week before, and we killed three. Called in a single, killed it, waited a little bit longer, kept calling. A triple came in.
Killed two of them.
And killed two of those. So,
So we went back to that, and it wasn't. We did have a dog come out and sit at 600 yards and look at us.
Like, what are you doing?
And then he went back in the woods. Yeah. Like, that's probably the one you guys shot at.
Yeah,
probably.
And then I don't remember the fourth place we would have went with Caden.
I don't remember.
He stayed in the truck. That was the last plot. Okay. Yeah. Little trooper. It wasn't even that late, and he was already asleep in the truck and stayed in the truck on that last one. But
I can't do it.
The first, I will say this. So our very first set, and we've told this story kind of on the show before in passing. My bobcat skull got jacked with by one of the kids.
Uh-oh.
But we go to this place that I've had a depredation tag before, and Typically, we have good luck there. When you say, like, you went there and we didn't.
Right.
That was the place. We went to the bottoms.
Okay,
and called it. And anyway, so we go. We're at the top on this one. Wind was coming out of the south. And we start calling. And they came from straight on the side of us.
Like 1 minute into calling.
It was
quick.
Yeah. So they must have just been laying right there. Well, they come in kind of quick, and Micah says they're on their way out. Well, I had one. I just happened to, like, swing my gun. I had to move and get next to him. And so I get up there, and as soon as I get into my gun, boom, there it is in my thermal. And he says they're going. And it was kind of going, so it stopped. I dropped it. And then I swing my thermal up, and I see the second one running, and it stops. Or did I try to stop, or did I scream at it?
No, I think,
I think it just stopped and looked at us. So I shoot it, right? And this is the first time I'm using those 80-grain ELD VTs. First time they've been shot at an animal. And when it hits, like, and I thought I saw, like, dirt fly. So I automatically assumed I hit the soybean field. It just was so loud, and
yeah.
I saw such a big splash. And Mike was like, dude, that was his spine. Like, no, nah, no way. So we put the laser on to, you know, the dogs just know where they were. And, it was the dog.
Right.
It blew his spine right
good.
Up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that was a hard hit. And then we went to another spot.
Had six come in.
Well,
there,
we
right?
had two come in first, right? Let me see. Tell me if I'm getting this right. No,
it was three.
We had three come in first. So we start calling where we were on that same, we were at the same place on the waterway.
Yeah.
They started calling to us all the way at the highway. And I'm like, man, if they're going to come, we'll just give them a little bit of time. You know, they're half mile away still.
Right.
You think? Half mile?
Yeah.
So I stop, start howling again, and then boom. And I'm they're just tearing down this pond dam, just coming right at us. Huh. So they get to, gosh, I mean, I felt like they were going to run over the call.
They were at the call.
Because I couldn't get him to stop.
30, 40 yards.
So I shoot. We both shoot. You weren't loaded.
Right. Yep. I had.
That's going to happen to everybody in thermal season at some point.
Yeah.
When I'm doing bolt, too.
I shot one, and I shot it back because it was moving so quick. And it ran off a little bit and then died right on the bank of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew it was dead. Well, the other ones, like, took off, and we didn't, like, spray and pray.
Right.
We left them alone. One went this way, another went this way. You know, so one went north, one went south. And we let it set for a few minutes, and I'm like, I think we can get these dogs back. So we start calling again, and two more come.
Same way.
Same way. One of them dips down into the woods, and the other one comes. We count down on that one. Did we count down?
Yeah.
That one didn't die for some, because it was the one that came from behind
us. I think
that's
the one I was misfired on.
Okay, that might have been the one you misfired on, yeah.
Yeah.
So that dog made it out alive, but another one came downwind of us. So it had our wind.
Right.
And it stayed on this terrace just so you could see, like, its head.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd go up and then back down and then up and back down. And I turned the call off. And so Micah faces uphill at it, and I'm just facing kind of downhill scanning. And I'm like, man, it's got our wind. I don't know why it's even screwing around with us.
Right.
Well, it ends up popping up right at the bottom at the tree line. And I'm like, Mike, it's right here. It's right here at the trees. And he's like, hold on. I'm like, I can't hold on. It's not going to give us time.
Yeah.
And so I shot her and killed her. And he's like, what did you say?
I called you a motherfucker.
You motherfucker. I mean, just as loud as
he was
possible.
Taking all my kills.
And I'm like, dude, that one was going to go.
It's
tough.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take them when the opportunity presents itself. You got to get them shot.
Yeah. And, you know, it was the first legitimate hunt evening. So
a little rusty.
Yeah. Yep. Weren't on all our P's and Q's
sure.
yet. So, you know,
but we were like,
you guys are now? I'm still struggling.
No.
Definitely not. You can definitely tell a difference, like, on countdowns and stuff, like, towards the end of the year.
I mean,
like,
we experienced that.
Yeah, we were on top.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, right. Well, besides that one, like, when it was just, like, me, you, and Russell, like, you know, you get in that rhythm.
Boom, yeah.
You know.
You can count on your teams, especially if you hunted those guys a lot.
Well, like, we went out hunting with a buddy of mine,
I can
Daniel.
See Deweese is probably the one who shoots first, ain't he?
No, he's pretty good about holding on.
We should have invited him.
Dylan Moberly's been shooting a little early this year.
Is he? I haven't met
but
Dylan.
He's putting his dogs down, so it's okay.
As long as he's killing them, I guess that's all right.
We just run him out of the field after he shoots sometimes. But
yeah, we went hunting. We'll talk about the story here in a little bit. We went hunting with Daniel, and he even made a comment, man, you guys like you guys work well
on a team,
And he fit right in. But so that was like the first night for us was a good start. Like, well, this is – and Caden got to do his first drag out. We made him drag it.
We know you didn't shoot it, but you got to drag it out, bud.
And so that was night one. I really wish I had my.
It's not a big deal.
I just can't believe you guys can remember all these. I mean,
we don't remember all.
It's such a blur.
But like, as far
it
as
is. It is, that's for sure.
I don't know if I did as much hunting as I've done in years previous, but I feel like there was a lot more on fire nights than there was.
That's good.
Not
that's good.
Yeah, fire nights.
Well, because like, the second one was the 11 dog day.
Oh.
That's why I don't remember anything in between.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we might have went hunting. No, we didn't because that would have been – yeah, that's exactly what it would have been because it was let's see here. Explicit was a day tournament.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and then the next weekend, we were gone. We were out of town at the Salt Lake City thing.
Yeah, so we didn't miss some.
And then we came back for the Carrollton one, so that's right. You don't remember, like, first couple weeks?
No, it's bad.
You like, don't remember last time we were out? Like,
I can remember the Standing Bean quad. That was a pretty neat one. We hunted a field that was Standing Beans, and the guys, they're pissed when we show up. They're like, we're not going to kill any cows here. It's Standing Beans in the middle of, you know, January, February. And ended up having a quad come in. Cody and Dylan didn't get the chance to shoot. Or no, Dylan... Or Caden and Cody didn't get a chance to shoot it on that one at all, but Dylan and I stood there and got all four of them shot. So, and they helped drag, so that was fun. But
I don't think they would care. Like in that case, I don't. If they all die,
they watched them come in.
Awesome,
but they were coming straight to us. So they were on like a sprayer path that was up through the beans that were coming straight to us. So we just waited, and the pair at first, we shot them at like 25 yards, and then the other two started taking off through the beans, and you could just catch them.
Catch
both of them shot, yeah.
That's awesome.
Got one on the run and then one down there standing the beans later, so.
Nice.
Hey, is there a way, I know, like this off topic, is there a way that you could like put, because I know he records a lot of his stuff, we got a lot recorded of our kills, that like you could overlay it and play it while we're talking.
I'm sure there's a way that would require time.
I have several videos.
What I'll probably do is if Calder wants to send me videos, I can do a mashup.
I have a few.
And actually put it on YouTube.
Yeah, do like a whole video
of
it.
This is Calder's year.
I can try to get some of my other buddies there. That
2.5 hours long.
Yeah. Hey, man, people like watching kill videos.
They do, yeah. But I usually do like a mashup of them just because.
Like my favorites are O'Neill. O'Neill Ops.
Yeah.
Dude, they put out some of the best content.
Yeah. Caden's really good with content, too. He can put stuff together for us.
Well, and he kind of does that, doesn't he? He's kind of in that space
a little
bit.
I think he does like drywall bidding and stuff like that. So
that's why that's why I like Caden so much.
You guys have that bond.
We have that bond,
the sheetrock bond.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. That was cool when I remember you telling me about that one.
Yeah, Caden's very tech savvy, so he helps us with our Onyx stuff and getting our everything set up to where we're gonna park the truck, where we're gonna stand, the winds, the colors for the different meetings and stuff like that. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't get that technical with it.
He's excellent for that stuff.
I will say this, and I think I told this to you on our night hunt. So that first night, and then we went and we hunted in that tournament, and I hunted with Corey Groff and Bobby.
You guys had a good night.
We had a good night. It had the chance to be the best night ever.
Right.
But I'll give us this grace. That was the first night that the three of us ever had hunted together. And there was no two sets of us that had hunted together at night at all.
Right.
Bobby, if I'm getting this wrong, Bobby, kill me. But I'm pretty sure Bobby, that was his first night thermal hunting ever.
Oh, wow.
He had the thermal, but I don't think he had used it before. And then Corey just didn't
very
do
little,
a lot yet.
Yeah.
And so Bobby and Corey hadn't hunted thermals together, me and Corey and me and Bobby. So it was, you know, a new team when it comes to that. And, dude, it was like coyotes coming out your ass. Like,
I love
they were
those
all
nights.
Over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were definitely a few of them where we're like, oh, crap. How did only one of those dogs die? Or,
right.
You know, whatever. I mean, the very first set, we had dogs come like that.
I mean, you were talking hella shit on Corey.
You just got to do it, don't you? You just want to stir shit, don't you?
A little bit.
I was not, FYI. But like that one, that first one I remember is just like crazy. And then we went to the next place and they come in, they leave. Corey hits him with something else. They turn around and come right to us on a string. We had another one where we pulled in on them and there were two coyotes out there. We let them walk away. We get out, set up.
Yeah.
They come right to us. I will never forget, as long as I live, the one where we walked in on eight.
Yeah.
They were laying down just out in the field.
Those have got to be deer, right? No, those are coyotes.
You would, it's like, yeah. We stopped walking because that night was horrible for the thermals. Really humid out.
Right.
The thermals were not working well. So Corey, I think, saw them scanning.
And well, he had the 640, didn't he?
He had the 640 scanner. So then we stopped. We put our thermals or our scopes down, and I look, and I'm like, no, dude, those are coyotes.
Yeah.
And so, like, we get to talk. I'm like, what do we want to do? And so I scanned them. I'm like, or I ranged them. I said, they're only 160 yards away. We just shoot them. Like, yeah. They don't even know we're here. Most of them were laying down was the only bad thing.
What would you do in that situation? Would you go ahead and shoot, or would you try to call them?
I would, at 160 yards, not that you couldn't get them shot, but
I think
I
we might
get
have
them
been
closer.
Able to get a little closer.
Well, I want to call them. I want to throw out a small squeaky sound, you know, a baby cottontail or something like that.
Yeah.
Something real light, and just get their, once I see them perk up and get their interest, then I'll, you know, kill the sound. Hopefully they'll get a little bit interested in it and want to work to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get eight coyotes to, say, 100 yards or 40 yards, you got a lot of chance to get them ran
down
before they get out.
There's two things that Corey and I have talked about it, too. Like, should we have tried to get a little closer? Because they had no clue anything was coming.
Yeah.
Like, what was in between you and them?
Grass, kind of hip high. And a fence.
How was the moonlight that night?
It was pretty dark.
Pretty dark,
yeah. So, I'm like, we were fine.
Yeah.
Don't think there was. It was muddy. So, like, we wouldn't have been making a lot of noise. But we're like, well, we're right here. Anyway, so, like, we probably could have got a little closer. The thing that scared me about calling them was there were eight coyotes all within a 10-by-10 area of each other.
Right.
So my initial thought was there were kind of like three here, two here, and then three here. So we all made a plan, like, hey, I'm going to shoot this one on the far right. As soon as I kill him, I'm paying into the next one, and I'm most likely going to empty this mag, just so you guys know, you know, if stuff goes crazy. And then, Bobby, you're going to start with the left one, and then you can pan to the one next to him. Corey was going to start in the middle. And so I felt like we had a better chance to kill more in that scenario than if I would have called them, they would have potentially, you know, went different directions. Maybe some of them dip out. In my excitement, I was like, we're about to kill eight guys.
Yes.
Like, and that was my, excitement.
Yeah, you walked back with your head hanging down, and you didn't get any of them on some of those.
we didn't get zero.
Good.
But we did get one.
That's the way it goes.
And I'll give us this. So we counted down, we shot, and there was only three shots, if I remember correctly, because as soon as we went to, like, shoot again, Corey immediately noticed his cows behind him.
Oh, okay.
So what had happened was there were cows about 50 yards, maybe not even 50 yards, in a little wood lot laying down. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we shot, they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, you can see cows.
Right.
So we obviously stopped shooting because we wanted to be buying beef that night. And so, you know, they might have been more killed than the one, but
you just never know.
You know, you
go with your gut. And
I shot
do
the
best
one,
you can.
I shot one laying down. I think all of us shot laying down dogs. And you know, only one of them died, is what it is. But it was like, just we leave there and we're like, did we just see eight freaking coyotes together? It was just like, you know what I'm saying? Just
talk
one
about
of the craziest
primo
thing.
Ground,
yeah. Dude. Man, it was.
We've
great.
Seen groups 8, 9, 7. You know,
yeah.
I think the biggest group I've seen is last year when at the depredation tag. What was it? We have 6 or 7 out in there in the field. They were on the neighbors.
Yeah.
We couldn't get them. They've been called to. Right. They were out there jacking around in the field.
But what's cool is the next morning, because it was a night then day. Mm-hmm. The next morning we went to a farm adjacent to that one,
mm-hmm.
hunting the same dogs basically. Because the thing is, we never called to them and we didn't educate them from a standpoint of anything other than
gunshots.
Something
off.
Like
we were sleeping and we got shot at.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. And so we go to a farm adjacent, and Corey's going to be listening to this if I'm getting this wrong. Sorry, dude. But I think that we go to a farm adjacent to that, and we called two in, and he killed one of them.
Yeah.
So we called those, I'm assuming one of those, two of those same dogs.
Right.
In the next morning. And that was kind of the thought behind the process is.
Sure.
I don't think they probably knew what went on.
Yeah.
So let's go try to get on them again.
For sure.
From a different direction. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even realize what's happening. But, dude, I can't remember some of the other stuff that happened that night.
How often do you call the same spot?
It just depends on the properties. You know, if we go in there and you kill everything that came in, I don't think there's anything wrong with going back in a couple of weeks or even a couple of days and calling that again. If you educate some or things didn't go your way, then maybe let it sit for a little while.
So what about that one that we went on last week or whenever, 2 weeks ago? We called that one, stood up off that fence and literally ran 2,000 yards around us to get our wind.
Yep.
Like, when you see that, are you like,
I'm
not coming back
here
for a long time?
Yeah, that... I don't know why that coyote did that. It circled way wide. I mean, it seemed like it had been called to before.
Well, it had
to
been.
Me. Yeah.
Well, the second day of the year.
Okay.
So that was 6 weeks.
Before we were out there. Plenty long enough time for it to forget about that.
But it could have been one of those ones that made it out alive.
Yeah.
That was the one.
Or maybe
we had
it got
come in.
You know, that same call at a different property. You know, they travel a lot. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'd set up a different direction and try to get it called in again,
which we did.
Different sounds.
We did, and they responded right in that area, and it just
didn't come. Which is, that's this time of year anyway.
By the way, that night was like this.
Yeah,
you could see us walking through a field.
Oh,
right?
It was bright,
full moon.
Yeah,
but what about your sounds? Like, okay, the beginning of the year, the beginning of the season, thermal season. I'm guessing tonight we're going to be using different sounds than you used February 2nd.
I've noticed just being outside. I mean, I live out in the country anyways, so a lot of times I'm hearing the coyotes. There's a lot of nights where they're not howling. You don't hear them until super late, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. But if they're howling right off the bat, you know, really yippy-yappy, you know, excited howls, those are the type of howls I'm using in the beginning of the season. And now it's starting to get more like long howls or more mature-sounding howls. Just kind of communication style howls, not so much, you know, we're over here, stay out of our area or anything like that. Not near as aggressive late season that I've been seeing.
I would like to try to play on their pup
brains
right now this type of year. So, like, I've got a lone pup howl.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
like mom pup serenades type
stuff. Yeah, mom pup serenades, even like week old pup.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know pups aren't on the ground and they're not going to be on the ground for a while, but. Mm-hmm.
Especially on the nights where the wind's not blowing a whole lot, I like to use the.
It's going to be tonight.
Yeah. The pup type sounds, the just small.
Yeah.
You know, canine whines and stuff like that. So
it's going to try. I mean, and I think prey distress may. I mean, because Daryl went out the other night with his brother-in-law and Cope. And I think Daryl only used prey distress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any luck?
Well, he went back to that place. Remember that place we went, walked down the gravel road? They were in the field. They popped back over, and then we started calling, and four of them came, and then they went straight left. We walked down the road to try to cut them off, and they caught our wind.
Mm-hmm.
They went back there, had three of them. He went to go sit the call out, and he told the guys, like, hey, pay attention to those three dots. That's an odd spot for calves to be.
Right.
He comes back, and he starts doing rabbit, I think he did, and all three or four of them stood up and just straight to him. This is a different farm now that I'm remembering him telling me. Because that same thing happened the second time they went there. They did the same shit and went back to that timber and then wouldn't come back. So he's like, if we ever day hunt that, we need to get there.
Yeah.
But anyway, they had four of them break straight in on rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was rabbit. And so, but then, like, I don't think the rest of the night they had a whole lot happen.
I mean, that's kind of how it was for us the other night. We had the first... Oh, or first set, we had five. And I'm jumping, the three were dumb luck. Yeah, they were behind us. They were in a different field or whatever. They ended up...
They were just running cat.
They were running deer.
Deer, yeah.
And then we ended up calling two from the other direction, which sounded off earlier. And so that was a good set. Next set, we drive in. As soon as we park the truck, I get out, scan, and there's one 180 yards. I mean, it could see us, definitely see us, you know, truck lights are on and everything. And
we literally are getting out, the truck lights are on, and this Kyle just walking. He was acting nonchalant, though.
Like, I don't think he gave a shit until we're like, well, let's get him stopped. You know, let's get the guns.
That was my fault. I forgot. So that first set, it was so windy that night. I had the call on, like, all the way on volume. And then I left. We turned it off. And so I'm like, I bet we could get him to at least stop and maybe, like.
Yeah.
So I went and ran, like, put the call on the fence real quick. And we just we were literally outside the truck, waited for the truck lights to turn off, and sat there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to give him a quick howl. Boom. Like, just, like, filled
full
up.
Full volume.
I've never seen a dog. I mean, it was like you went, smacked that dog in the ass. He ran straight away and then crosses a road. Just gone.
Huh.
And I'm like,
miles.
Oh, hey, guys, he didn't like that. Yeah. But plus,
other than that, we didn't
he knew
shit.
We were there.
Yeah. We probably should have just shot him and called it.
Try to.
At that distance.
Well, he was like 180, 200, somewhere in there. And he
was
kind of working away.
I wasn't comfortable. We were going to be shooting through a fence.
Yeah. Right. Like a woven wire fence, not just barbed wire.
What are the chances of us actually getting those projectiles safely through that run?
Like,
that
if we could get them to come 50 yards, like, we're in the game, sort of thing. But, yeah, you know. But other than that night sucked after that.
The night that we went out, we had the one in the field, and we started calling to it, and it broke. It came, like, 10 yards, 20 yards, just on fire, and it just stopped, and it wouldn't come any closer. I think we were using lip squeaks on that.
What am I thinking about?
That was down by the bridge. We went down into the field on the left side. We ended up shooting at it as it was running out of the field. Like 500 yards.
I still don't remember which
one. Oh, was that when the two were out?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. Over there by Rogers Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kept arguing about how far it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was right, by the way. I'm just saying.
There was a lot of long shots taken.
That particular set.
Did we kill a dog at all?
No. Not on that set.
No, all that night.
Andy hit one.
No, Andy was the one.
That's right. Yeah. I thought we killed one.
I'm not so sure that we didn't get the one that was in the cornfield that you and I shot on. You shot just a little bit early. I didn't shoot on the countdown.
I know I missed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we go. Like I said, the thermals were shit that night. It was humid.
And the dogs didn't want to work.
They didn't work that well, though.
Yeah, no, they
even like
we haven't
had
an on-fire night. I haven't come down and hunted with you guys on.
Well, the problem is.
Never. We need to go up there.
Well, either that or you come down earlier.
On a good night.
And earlier in the season. Yeah, you know, this time of year, I expect, like tonight, I don't expect to have an amazing night. I hope it happens, but I'm just.
Well, the last time you said that we had an amazing night, so keep it up.
Yeah.
It's going to be trash tonight.
It's going to be shit.
He has to be the one doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just going to be absolute shit.
I do. So, yeah, that one, like even the dog, when he came, like he didn't like it. Which Andy had it set up.
Andy
he came
called
down
it perfect.
That drainage or that the waterway, and then he kind of worked. Well, here was the issue with the countdown. So in that case, from left to right, it was Calder, me, Micah, Andy, and the dog works. What are you like 180?
Yeah,
160. I thought he was 2+.
He wasn't over 200.
When we first saw him, he was a ways out there. I'd say he was 225 when we first saw him.
The shot
coming
you
up.
And I were
sure,
about
I'm
to
saying
make
when y'all
was,
shot at him, he was. I thought he was like 2.
Nah. Well, okay, we'll just say 200.
Sure. Doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, Calder starts counting down. I hear him. They don't. Because the wind was.
They're like, we never heard anything.
Yeah. The wind was, 15-plus miles an hour.
Yeah,
so,
it's quick.
And so Calder, well, so here's kind of one of those things, like when you hunt together with people, you just get used to certain things. So first off, Calder counts down just like I do. 3, 2, 1, shoot. Andy and them do 1, 2, 3, shoot, which is really not that different. It's just, you know, a little difference. Well, you count a little slower than me. So you were 3, 2, 1, and I was in the middle of my pull, my trigger pull, and I start panicking. I'm like, I'm about to shoot early. And so then I stop concentrating on the coyote, and I'm like, should I pull up? Like, what should I? And then I shoot, and I don't even come close. I mean, I bet I missed that dog by 3 feet. And as soon as I think I even said, sorry.
Like, middle of the shot. You're like, bang, sorry. Like, knew it was bad.
And the dog runs off. And you and Andy, somebody, you guys took a
shot at it, and he
stopped right at the edge of the timber. Yeah.
He was on a terrace.
Right.
Yeah.
He was on the top of a terrace, then it goes down, and then the timber or whatever.
And that's the one that you guys think you might have
got. I think we might have got it, but we never did find it. So.
Yeah, it got into the timber, and we were like, it's in the ditch already. It's good.
But,
and then.
And then this is the best story.
Calder broke his call.
Not Calder. Not Calder.
I don't see how it's my fault.
You were the last person to possess the call. So, listen. No. Here's what we're going to do. Podcast world, if you are listening on Apple or Spotify or YouTube, I want you to
reply.
We
need a vote.
Yes. And we'll even probably put this out. I want you to reply on the show release on social or just send us a DM, okay? Whose fault is this? And we're going to tell you the story. So we get done with that.
I feel
cluster.
Like I should tell the story since it's my story.
I'll get to it.
No leading the witness
here. We
get
done with that. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, no, you're not.
We know why he wants to tell the story.
You don't know the story.
I know exactly what happened.
Okay.
So we get done with that clusterfuck of a setup. And so we go back to the truck. When we get back to the truck, Micah grabbed the call. Being nice. Being a nice
helpful.
Guy, you know.
Yeah.
It was Calder's call. And so Micah grabbed it. You know, we do a pretty good job overall of helping out. And so Micah grabs the call. We get back to the truck. Micah sits the call on the rails of my bed as we're all putting our stuff away, assuming in his mind that Calder was going to grab it. Calder doesn't see it. Everybody gets in the truck. I back out of the field, and we start driving. We get to our next place. And Calder's like, where's my call?
Can't well, there find was coyotes it. In the field on that one.
There were, yeah. So we were kind of like already like, up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were kind of jacked it.
Yeah.
And Calder's like, where's my call? And Micah's like, I sat on the bed rail. You not get it? No. We're like, shit. So we left and went back, mm-hmm. and we can't find the call. It's not where the truck was parked. It's not anywhere in the waterway, like the tractor path, like nowhere. We start walking on the highway, cannot find it. And then we start driving away, and it fell off, what do you say, 200 yards down the highway?
A little ways. I walked for probably.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And it fell off, and actually did not break as bad as I would have assumed. Some
you
internals.
If you shake it, it rattles.
Have you sent it off yet? No. Are you going to?
No. It's still calling coyotes in.
So, anyways.
So I didn't do shit, really.
whose fault is
okay,
it?
Okay.
You seem guilty there. I didn't do shit, by the way.
Because here, can I make my case
I'll
now?
Let you make your case, and then I'll make Calder's case, because he's going to be nice about it and be like, it's not your fault.
It's not a big deal.
That's him.
The call goes in the back with them. Correct?
In the back of the truck.
First
in the back seat.
Last time, I put it on the rail. You grabbed it.
I didn't know you'd carried it.
Okay, well, it's not my fault you're not paying attention. Okay, anyways, I've done this before. I put it on the thing, and then you put it in the seat.
Why did you put it in the seat?
Because he had his shit. He still has to put his gun and all his stuff in the seat.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not going to put it, and then he has to pull it out. I don't know how.
Make your case before the court, and then I will make my case for the court. Go ahead.
I'm not going to put his call wherever. I don't know where he's putting it. I don't know if he puts it on the floor. I don't know if it's his seat. It's his area.
I'm listening to you.
I put it directly in his line of sight. Either way he goes, he's going to see that call right there on the rail. He's like, oh, that's my call.
Obviously in the dark. Obviously night.
With your fucking bright-ass truck lights, nobody's missing shit. All right, dude? You have the brightest truck this side of the fucking Mississippi, man.
It's pretty bright.
It's bright as hell.
Does a good job. So, you said there's no way he can miss it, right?
I don't think so.
Did he miss it?
He did.
Did he put it on the driver's side or the passenger
side? No, it was on your side.
I don't know
passenger.
About it.
He was on the passenger side. But here's my argument to the court. Micah grabbed the call and possessed the call. In my opinion, there's two things I'm going to say. It's your responsibility to make sure that call safely gets into the truck. You possess it. Number one. Number two.
I should have just left the fucking thing out in the field, apparently.
You should have. Number two. Can things go wrong when you put things on bed rails of trucks?
Sure, absolutely.
Put the damn thing in the cab.
Okay. Well, fine.
So,
I rest my case.
I think you just agreed with me.
I don't agree with it at all.
Long story short, Micah broke Calder's car. Although it's not broken, it's amazing that it still calls coyotes.
It does.
You are going to send that back to them, and you are going to get it fixed, and we will take care of it.
Yeah, that's no big deal.
Which means it's Mike's fault, by the way.
I'll put it on. I got a company car. I'll pay
for it. But that's how big of a clusterfuck that night was. It was a fun night because we did see coyotes.
Well, yeah. So we drove to that one. We drove back. There was three of them out there. So we're like, oh, this is dead money.
Yeah.
You know, we get back. We scan. They're not there. Like, they just got to be, you know, a little ways away. We'll call them in. Nothing. Not sure.
They did reply to us.
Did they?
Remember?
I don't even remember.
We walked down the fence line, or that fence, and they replied up over the hill.
Yeah.
They just didn't break.
No. But that's a great reason to have an extra call in the truck at all times. You never know what's going to happen.
I never leave home with just one.
If you're really needing your calls to work.
I got them both charging right now.
Good.
Did I tell you about my newest purchase?
I have not heard.
Old Tony Tebby.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
I do that every time. Tony Tebby is sending me.
Oh, cool.
Getting something set up for me.
Very good.
I don't think it's going to be here in time for thermal season, but.
Yeah. What is it?
A coyote call.
Oh, you got a new call?
Not yet.
Okay.
E-caller.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a Ecotec.
Oh, nice. Ecotec. Nice.
I'll try out one of those.
All decked out with his stuff?
Well, all of his stuff is about $2,700.
Ooh. So he's got two of them coming.
So I've got, I told him, hey, you know, this is how much I'm wanting to spend. Put the calls on that you like for that much. You know, because the call itself is a certain amount that comes with calls, and then he's going to put stuff on there. So kind of like Tory Cook does and Rick Pallette does.
No, he's got some great calls.
I just like, you know, having a little bit of like a variety. Yeah, you know, I mean.
My Fox Pro is good.
You know,
so.
I'll say this. I like my Lucky Duck. I like some of the sounds the Lucky Duck makes. That thing's been pissing me off a lot lately.
Those remotes
suck.
That
remote
ass,
sucks
dude.
Ass.
Really?
I've had to hit the button 4 or 5 times.
Huh.
You know, and so like the Lucky Duck,
it's not like we're putting them 300 yards away.
Like, I'm making sure I don't put it that far.
Right.
Because I know I got to point it and do it, and then it'll do it. I don't ever have that issue with my Fox Pro. I'll say that. That's the one, the negative to me on the Lucky Ducks is the way the remote talks to the caller is different than the way Fox Pros does. So to me, but man, some of those sounds so pretty.
Good batteries and everything in there.
Yeah. I put new batteries in them just the other day. So
I've not had that much issue with it, but
it's weird.
It happens.
And I've had that from time to time. I thought about seeing if that's something that maybe needs to be fixed, but.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never.
It doesn't affect me enough because if I just remember, I'll just make sure.
Right.
I'm very, like, I have to be very positive that I hit the button, you know, type of deal. But
I think they all have great sounds. I think they all have some sounds that are like, is this in a barrel? Or, like, I mean, some of the sounds are terrible.
I've got one on my Fox Pro that I put on there years ago. It was actually on my Shockwave, and then I put it on the Fox Pro when I got the X24. And it is literally someone just going, meh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I forget which one it is, and then I'm like, I'm going to try this one. Oh, crap.
That's it.
But
I can make that sound.
And then let's see. Let's finish off that clusterfuck of a night. So that we break a call.
We go to, I'll call it the bottom ground after that, pretty sure.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that
and
one. Are you talking about the one where we dumped about 25 rounds at them?
At 800 yards?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or are you talking about the other one that you also shot?
The first,
those were 600, 700, 800 yard coyotes. Those were tough.
Yeah. Well, it was just one of those nights. They didn't want to work.
They'd come out and they'd look around.
He worked for about 50 yards.
Yeah.
They worked 50 yards. They were what? 600 at first?
No, he wasn't. He was 500. No, I would say he was about 300.
But no, we're talking about different. I'm talking about on the levee. We're on the levee.
Oh, you're on the levee. Yeah.
Yeah. Those
weren't even that far at first. They were just out there in the bottoms.
Yeah.
And they replied.
Yeah.
And they replied, stood up, and they would walk back and forth a little bit. We threw everything in the book at them. And then eventually they just started walking off. And Calder's like, I can do this.
I'll send it.
What was it? 800 yards?
729.
I don't know.
And I was like, I'm not even sure. I can't even tell if those are coyotes at this point. And they were, because when he shot, they ran.
They definitely were coyotes, but I was like, I don't think I'm going to waste the bullet. I know. I didn't even.
I was like, nah, I'm not doing it. And It almost looked like you did get one.
I'm wondering if you did get that one because he like walked off real slow after
and,
that.
And he turned around like four. No, that was the other place. You remember the other one
off the bridge, Rogers.
Yeah, road. Off the bridge. So we go and there was already a cow in the field. That was the one mm-hmm. where as soon as I started calling, he started coming, and then he just stopped.
Broke like sat, it was going to run all the way to us.
He sat, mm-hmm. laid down,
stopped.
Yeah. Lay down to watch us.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if they could just see us or something.
No, there's no way. We had all the trees behind us.
That's true.
So I'm like, okay. And then we sat there for a while. I tried several things. Mm-hmm. He did not care. Another coyote comes in from a different direction.
Yeah, 600-700 yards out again.
Turns around, kind of leaves, and we're just kind of talking like, you guys want to shoot? And then we start arguing about how far away. Calder's like, it's 500. I'm like, it's 300. No, it's 500. No, it's 300. No, it's 500. No, it's 300. And Andy's obviously in this. He's arguing with me, too. He agrees with you in this case. Although on X later, does not say that.
Didn't map out, huh?
But anyway, so we go to is that my phone? Yeah. So we go to shoot, and we miss. Micah and Andy shot at the one to the left, and me and you shot at that one. We miss.
And then all of a sudden, Andy
I had
goes.
A full 10-round mag. Andy has a full 10-round mag. You had how many? You're a bolt
four.
Gun, and you're a bolt
yeah.
gun, but I had you reload.
He's like, hold on, I gotta reload. Because this, I mean,
we shoot at this dog all the way across.
Yeah,
this field
700-800.
These people that shoot dogs running, I just want to shake their hands because I have not.
Pretty sure they're running. A lot closer than 700 yards. Though.
Well, no, you see that dude up on the killed that one run across the frozen lake. At like 700 yards?
I did see that one.
That was badass.
It was a ways up.
Like, that was like just a luck shot.
I don't give a shit. I want to be lucky.
It's awesome.
It's freaking
awesome.
I want to win the lottery.
It's amazing. Yeah. The running shot is...
It's an art.
Yeah.
I have not mastered
never,
it.
Never... Yeah. And I've felt good about them. Like the very last set we did, we actually called a dog in.
Yeah. Let's stay on this one first. But yes, that one's good.
Yeah.
So, like, I unload my mag.
This coyote had 30 rounds go past.
And it gets to a point where the coyote is almost to the timber, and somebody would shoot and barely miss in front of it, and it would stop and turn around and do this. And we'd shoot and barely – it'd stop and go back that way. And that thing had to be, like, so stressed. Or he got hit by somebody.
Who knows?
But that was, like, one of those – we were so squirrely by the end of the night and annoyed that we were just – I think that was, like, letting out frustrations. And it was fun.
It was fun.
I
mean, it was good.
I don't normally, you know, waste 10 rounds of ammo, but when I do, I'm with Colin. and then we went to the last one.
Yeah, last set. We finally, I don't know how long we were calling. We were calling for a while. Like, I was about getting to the point where I'm like, okay, well, this is another dead one. And
was I calling or were you on that one?
He was because he had his head in the remote. I was next to Calder and Andy was next to me. And Andy's like, oh, there's one right here. And it's
quick.
Andy's so freaking tall. You know,
he has
can
to
see
have
over
a
the
blinking red light on whenever he goes out so air traffic doesn't hit him.
Right.
He's tall.
Yeah. Right. He's tall. So, like, the dog was on the other side of a terrace, kind of, and I ended up seeing it, but as soon as I got on it or whatever, Andy's like, pop, and I saw shit fly out. I'm like, oh, and I saw the dog
and
drop.
It fell.
Yeah. It fell. It
fell behind a terrace.
And we're like, okay, sweet. We finally got one. Yeah, it wasn't a dead night, blah, blah, blah. And I could see it flopping. I'm like, okay, well, I don't see it no more. It's got to be dead. So we call a little bit longer, I think. And then, like, I don't know, a minute later, maybe.
I was like, there's a dog on the tree line, guys.
Oh, there's a dog. And then it
By the worked. Way, when we say dog, we mean coyote.
Yeah.
Just for everybody.
It started working away. Like, fuck it, let's go, you know, bam, bam, bam. I thought I was like, oh, this – because it wasn't running.
It wasn't
just
that far.
Kinda,
what was it, 180, 200 yards there?
Maybe. Yeah, it wasn't that far. I was like,
it was running along a tree line that was.
But it wasn't running. It was just kind of working its way out of
there. Parallel to us, so it was staying
in
the same distance.
So, long story short, it was fucking Andy's dog that he already shot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he just must have skimmed the back or something. I saw hair fly up.
Because the blood didn't – the big blood only lasted from here to the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it dried up, and then I was using my tracking skills, and there's more. And it led right to where the dog
– Yeah.
Because what was it, like 2 minutes later, I'm like, hey, there's a coyote on the tree line, guys.
It wasn't even 2 minutes. No. It was like a minute.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing is he got hit, fell down, got up, went over there, and then still stopped and looked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like – what was it? Why would he just bust out of there?
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then he got shot at again. But yeah, that we went home that night empty handed.
It was a shit show night.
Has happened.
Yeah.
They'll have it on them.
I had a good night with Daryl. Like, I think we killed five or six one night. And
what's your best night so far?
This year?
Yeah, this year.
18.
18?
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, we've had several over 15.
Now, are you having any dry sets on those nights? Or is it mostly
you're
getting your triples and doubles?
Yeah, going for the groups. We're still having dry stands here and there for sure. But
how many sets you getting in? Like, when you're doing a tournament, you're on hall night, how many sets you think you're getting in?
Well, over 20, 20, 25, I'm sure.
Wow.
How are you running that many?
And are they just,
you're keeping your stands close and tight.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one thing.
You mean close and tight for like in and out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not spending a whole lot of time in the truck. You're spending a lot of time on the fields.
That was one thing, like when we went up north, you know, it was all you were in the truck maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. That was the same. And if you can plot your route out, you know exactly where you're going, you know exactly where you're needing to stand. You're in and out. Everybody, you know, you get coyotes on the ground. Somebody's grabbing tripods and heading back to the truck. Somebody's grabbing coyotes and going back. I mean, it's pretty well-oiled team.
That's what I was going to – I didn't mention earlier. The night me and Corey and Bobby hunted, I was telling Micah about this before our next tournament that we were doing, the Midwest Wildlife one. Corey knew, like, everything we were doing, Corey's like, we're going to park the truck here. We're going to stand here.
Yeah.
We're standing here. There was no like, debate about where we're going.
No. You're
now,
wasting time.
Corey had been to those places before, I think most of them, during the day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he knew them. But, like, I told the guys, I'm like, that's what impressed me is, like, we didn't waste time trying to figure out where we wanted to go. It was, we're going here. And we spent very little time in the truck.
Yeah.
Like, we went one time to the bottoms. And Bobby and Corey were like, hey, we got to go. Like, we're wasting time.
Yeah.
After a while, because, like, we were going to go set somewhere, and then they see a truck out there. Like, you could see forever.
Yeah.
And there's a guy out there, like, well, that guy's screwing around chasing coyotes. And then we went to another spot and called, and we're like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go back up to the top and or the up in the hills, we'll say. But just everything, like, you didn't have time to get warm because it wasn't really cold, but because you weren't in the truck very long. That was nice. We don't have that. Even like down here,
no.
If we're doing a tournament, we got to travel.
Right.
Usually,
you know, 10 minutes 10, in between. 15. I mean, it's not like it's a half an hour drive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just got text about tonight. So it was one of the landowners. So anyway, But that night we killed 11. That was great.
I think when it comes to the tournaments, you really gotta have that shit pinpointed.
Yeah,
like I mean,
yeah, I don't think you're winning anything without 15 dogs on it. Like a good hunting night,
right? Yeah,
you're not winning anything without 15,
right?
Minimum.
Yeah, because you figure, I mean, if you're having some good luck, you know, there's gonna be at least 2 to 3 other teams that are in the coyotes too. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, so. And that was what crazy about that Carrollton tournament. We got third. Mm-hmm. We killed 11. A team killed 14, which I think that was the first tournament he's ever done, that kid.
That's pretty good.
And then Andy's team killed 15.
Yeah, they won.
After the 15, the 14, and the 11, it was like 4.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, I mean, we all had great nights, but, you know, the other teams just, you know, I guess didn't run into them. But,
and it's
a
wide group of people. You got guys that are there just to drink beer. You got guys that are just getting away from things. You know, you got guys that are actually really trying to be serious about it and taking it way too serious.
There was one team that he came to check in. He's like, we could thermal hunt?
Yeah.
He just day hunted.
Oh, no.
He's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, just didn't know about it. But, yeah, like Daryl and I had a couple good nights. The thing I love about thermal hunting is all the different stories, which, I mean, this show is basically we're talking about all our stories.
Yeah.
And, like, me and Daryl walked out. Daryl walks within 60 yards of two coyotes laying in a waterway. And they didn't care that he was doing it.
Right.
We go sit. He starts squeaking, and I'm like, that rabbit, there's a rabbit over that waterway. And then about that time, the rabbit turned its head and yawned. I said, that's a coyote. And then it stood up, and there was another rabbit further down the waterway, and it ended up being a coyote, and we killed them both.
Huh.
And, like, they're just sitting there hanging out in the waterway, knowing that those dogs have been hunted by those guys in another tournament and got shot at. Mm-hmm. And actually the one Daryl killed was limping. Hmm. Probably the one they injured.
Right.
They nicked.
And I'm just like, that's crazy how they didn't care that some dude. Now, obviously, he wasn't walking in blowing his wind at him.
Right.
So they might not have heard him because it was a windy night. And then we went and just killed some more in other places. And me, you, and Daryl had a great night that one night. The last set.
We had, we had coyotes on every set, even the last one, but the last ones they didn't want to play.
Yeah. That's the worst thing when you save your good properties and you're trying to go out for a, and the coyotes just aren't working that night.
Yeah.
That's what's tough.
Yeah. You're like, I know this is a good spot, but they just, for whatever reason, they don't want to commit to nothing.
Yeah.
And then other nights you go and it's just like, you can't do anything wrong. It's perfect.
Well, we that night we even did stuff wrong, remember? So this is a funny story. I played basketball that night. I get home and Daryl calls me. What are you doing? I'm like, I just got home, so I'm eating dinner right now. I got done playing basketball. We're going hunting. Okay. We get to our first place. We walk in there, and it's muddy that night because it had rained.
Muddy mother.
And we're calling, and look to my right, which is downhill or downwind. So the wind's blowing in front of our faces that way behind us. And a coyote, I hear something, and it steps out of the woods, and then goes back in the woods. I'm like, there's a coyote. And Daryl's like, damn, I didn't think it would come from there. That's not where they usually are at. So I turned it off, and then I turned on a fight. Two coyotes come in, and that's where I shot the one. She was like
in the ass.
30 yards. I shot her right up right up the Texas heart shot, dropped her right on spot. And another one stayed further out, and I'm guessing that was the one that kind of caught our wind. I cannot believe they came in after busting us.
Right.
In that scenario, I mean, just some of the stuff you see, you're like, okay.
The nights when they're vocal and they're wanting to respond, you can actually get a plan together on them. Those are nice nights. The nights that are tough is whenever they're not responding. They're just showing up. It's like, give me something to go on by, some kind of a indicator of your attitude and what your demeanor is tonight. And it's just tough sometimes when they're not vocal like that.
Yeah.
The stories are just what's so much fun because some of the craziest shit happens at night.
Oh, yeah. Guarantee it.
It's a blast. Yeah. I love it.
What was the craziest thing you've had happen this year?
That quad, the bean quad, was pretty crazy.
Crazy right off the bat. Just boom, craziest one. I had some idiot shoot too early on a countdown.
We had a
pretty good guy broke my call. That was pretty crazy.
We had a pretty good night down, went with Clay Riggers down around Butler area, and we had a pretty good night there. We didn't get anything in the truck till 2:45-ish in the morning, and by 7 we had 11 in the truck.
Oh wow.
So it turned on.
Got busy quick.
Yeah. And it was, we were calling in groups. I mean, it was early, we just weren't connecting with the coyotes, but we were calling quad, you know, triple quad. It was just crazy down there. But he said that a lot of that stuff hadn't been hunted in 2 years. So, but it turned on pretty good for us later on in the evening or in the morning.
Yeah. If I can promise you tonight, by midnight, if we haven't done anything, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm probably done anyway by around midnight. Yeah. But, that's been my biggest thing this year. Like, I've gotten tired quicker. Outside of that one night,
y'all are a lot older.
I'm going to bed.
I mean, y'all are old, so
we do have fours in front of our ages.
Yeah,
don't we?
Darn it!
You still got a three in yours?
Yep. For another 4 years,
a little young whippersnapper.
Yeah. Still, speaking of old, you're going to be an old dad.
Oh yeah. Speaking of that,
you just slid it right in there.
Yeah, just like he did.
We'll see. Yeah. we'll see how next year goes.
Oh, it's not going to be the same. I'm going to tell you that bud.
Early October, we're going to welcome one to the family. So,
yeah,
got a baby boy on the way.
Congratulations!
Excited about that.
Congratulations, Corey.
Yeah.
You know,
are you going to name him Coyote?
Well, we don't have a name picked out yet. If you guys want to, you know, submit some names that we could
Nate
go through. Yeah.
No, I think the listeners should name it.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're going to have yet?
The boy.
Yep.
Boy. Way to listen.
Sorry. So, listeners, if you guys got a good name, drop something in your comments.
Slick Rick.
So, you know.
Wait, of course, we got
The baby Calder.
Yeah, baby Calder. That's perfect.
Our buddy's baby Calder.
Our buddy's baby Calder. I will never know that kid's name.
We got
our buddy Calder's baby.
So Easton is the boy right now, and he's for sure we need to call it Weston. So, but we probably won't go with that. But
don't be the Kardashian.
He wants Weston.
Don't be the Kardashians.
That's a good name. I like the name.
Weston's a good name. Yeah. It is a good name.
Weston's a good name.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you sprung that on us last.
Yeah.
Last.
Well, we were.
You guys were cheering a lot louder in the truck there, and everybody's high fiving, and it was fun.
We were joking with you about.
Yeah.
I said, I was like, you need to be careful. She's going to, I don't know. I said something probably inappropriate.
You said you're getting old enough. Your seat's probably not even working anymore. So, speaking of that.
Speaking of not working anymore.
My stuff works just fine. Yeah. We're expecting in October.
Yeah.
Oh, we
okay.
We're like, no shit.
Yeah.
So congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll bring him up right.
When he is a month old and at 2 a.m, you're up with him. Do not call me.
Yeah. We need a Missouri Woods and Water onesie or something, don't we?
I think we can probably make that happen.
All right. Yeah, we can make that happen.
Probably
for
pull
you.
That off.
For sure.
You want the Coyote logo on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get you. Yeah.
We can do that.
And it could be our gift.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, so going back to a little bit of strategy, you know, we're at an hour, so we'll probably wrap it up soon. But calling wise, at the beginning of the season, you know, they're breeding. You know, they're in their breeding season, mm-hmm. beginning of thermal season. So I will say this, like when you came to hunt with us, I felt vindicated is a word. Like I would have done this too. Like this is how I would have called.
Okay.
So you're a little more aggressive
yeah.
in the beginning of the season. So, you know, you seem to typically start off with a single howl, mm-hmm. like me. Is that pretty normal for you?
Yeah, and I'm just hoping with that howl that I can get somebody to answer back.
Yeah.
Somebody
now why single? Why a single howl?
I don't want to intimidate anything yep. that might be close.
Same. Yep.
Or I'll start out with like Lucky Duck's got a puff ball sound, Baby Cottontail on the Fox Pro. Both those sounds are nice and light sounds I like to use if I'm thinking that there might be something close in the proximity.
Potentially, yeah.
But then I want to go into finding out, you know, what's in the area, where the coyotes are at, off you, because at night they could be anywhere. They might not be yeah. in that ditch that you're thinking there. They might be out in the open field. So I'm just trying to see, you know, what their demeanor is, you know, how fired up they are. If they're just kind of a communicative howl, then I'll stick with my prey sounds. But if they're, you know, kind of fired up, then maybe I'll go into a pair interrogation style howl.
Yep.
Try to get them fired up. And I'm really trying to get that whole group to come in. I want that group to pack up and come find out who's in their area and try
you
to
want
fight.
Them to fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
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 I want to be pissed off, scratching, coming in.
And that's kind of how I mean, was for the most part. I like to start off with the single howl, like just like you said, not to intimidate, maybe. Typically, it was a female. You know, I would also like go into submissive male. Mm-hmm. A submissive male, not right away, but I would usually do that. I would sometimes go into a pair howl and like a submissive male. Then I would up the ante a little bit into, let's say, a interrogation and then fights.
Yeah.
Maybe a lighter fight and then like a all out like Pound Town mm-hmm. which Pound Town's a popular sound, but it's popular because it sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And which is an all out fight. If I was going to do prey distress early, I would do it first. Because to me, it was weird. Like, it always, if it sounds weird to you, it probably sounds weird to them. Like, we have a lone howl, and then we had another coyote howl, and now we have a rabbit squealing.
They killed the rabbit.
Yeah. Which I guess, but see, to me, it would make more sense. Like, you got a rabbit squealing, and then a coyote's howling afterwards. Like, hey, look what I did, even though that's not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I always, like, if I was going to start with prey distress, I usually started
about
it first.
Yeah.
And then would go into coyotes.
Yeah, you'll go crazy thinking about the processes. Oh, yeah. I mean, and we all try to reason it in our minds, yeah. you know.
Well, what do you do when we're calling?
Sometimes we get lucky.
I kill shit. That's what I do. I pull the trigger.
I'm a trigger man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the higher pitched howls, you know, more kind of yappy stuff early in the season. Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to get into the longer, drawn out, more mature sounding coyotes. Whether they're more mature or not, I know Tory Cook kind of talked about you can't really tell the age of a coyote by its voice, but it seems like I like a little bit more of the raspier, you know, the Fox Pro's got that female soar howl. I really mm-hmm. like that. That's a good sound to get them to talk back on. I don't do a whole lot of serenades until something else has serenaded me I don't want to intimidate them, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's time to really get them fired up.
Yeah.
And then
let
them set the tone, you know what I mean, on how I'm yeah. going to call.
Did I call you the next day after one of my dreams did not come true?
I don't know.
The shooting a coyote off a hay bale.
Oh, I don't know if you did or not.
So the night we went out with Daniel, it was a
yeah.
good night. Daniel was I've hunted with Daniel before, but that was a lot of fun. So we go out, me, you, Daniel, and Russell. first place, we went back to the top of the hill of this, the place we were at the bottom with you again. Mm-hmm. And I start calling, nothing. And Russell, I think Russell, right, mm-hmm. thinks he sees something. He sees something down on the hay bale, way down to where we were standing. So 600 yards, probably 500, 600 yards. Mm-hmm. Can't tell what it is. So we actually move, and we're looking again. And Russell's like, I think that's a coyote. And Daniel and Micah are like, I don't think that's a coyote. So me and Russell decide to start walking at the thing. We walk a couple hundred yards. It's a coyote. It stood up on the hay bales or sat up on the hay bales.
It was there the entire time.
The entire time. Everything I threw at that freaking thing, it did not care at all.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
So we walk to 200 yards, and it's full moon.
It was bright as hell.
Like, eventually it was going to see us, so we stop at 200 yards and decide to shoot at it. I don't know what I was thinking. We had all kinds of time. He had no idea we were there. So I told Russell, I'm like, hey, why don't you just shoot him when you're ready? And I'll be ready to shoot. Mm-hmm. So that if you miss, I'll just, follow up.
Sure.
Instead of doing a countdown, right?
Right.
So he's like, okay. So he shoots. I'm like, coyote falls down off of the
hay bale.
I'm like, you killed it, man.
Hell yeah.
Well, it didn't fall. It jumped.
Oh.
Hit the ground. And
well, this is your part. This is where you're supposed to come in.
And yeah. I did. I shot running twice. But the thing is, like, I kind of froze because I'm like, oh, you killed him.
Yeah.
And then he hits the ground and runs, yeah. and I'm like, oh, now I'm shooting at a running coyote, and you know how that goes most of the time.
Sure.
Daniel are up top just watching this and seeing like, oh, he got him. Oh, no, he didn't. Bang, 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 bang.
I only shot twice.
Whatever.
But so that happened, but then that night got good. Like, we went after that we went to a farm I have not been to in 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's not a good setup for us.
Like, we always hear them. They always sound off.
Can't ever get them to commit. So we get there, and the guy's grandson lives there. And so he comes out, and I'm like, hey, you want to go out with us? So now there's five of us in a cut bean field with a full moon. It gets better. So I start calling. And they reply 600 yards away. I'm like, oh, they're there.
That's what they always do. Here we go again.
And then I stop. I call again, and they're closer. I'm like, oh, they're working their way in. Right at that time, a truck pulls in.
MFA dropping off their
pick up their guy's truck.
Yeah,
anhydrous tanks. They light up the entire field, including us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, welp. So I shut up. And I'm like, this is over. And they quickly got their trucks because they see three guys with rifles and guns.
What are these guys doing out here?
Yeah, and so they leave, and I'm like, I'll wait for a minute. And so I howl again, or I do something again. I don't remember what I did. And now they're like 200 yards. We still can't see them yet. I'm like, sweet. And then about that time, boom, there's two of them pop over the hill. Huh. They work to like 180. Mike is like, let's shoot. And I'm like, nope, they're coming. Let them do their thing. They get to 130. We count down, drop them both. It was great. Like, it was – I don't know how they didn't see us. We were just
out in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Our backdrop was a white barn.
Yeah.
Like,
you got a coyote that's sitting on a bale that won't even look up at you, and then you got one that
they worked 500 yards.
Got a truck that pulls in on you, and they still come.
They still came. Crazy. And then there was another one actually stayed out. And then we get to another place. This is over at Russell's place, and we're standing on the fence line. Four grown men. I'm a tiny version of a grown man, but remember that. On his fence line. I start calling, and a coyote comes in, immediately sees us, which we all know, like, there's nowhere for us to hide, so we're just going to have to do what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And kind of goes to leave. Me and Micah count down, shoot it. Pretty sure Micah was the one that killed on that one. And then another one, downwind of us, starts working from way far away towards us. And can I tell the story?
Sure.
Russell missed the coyote chip shot, right, on the hay bale. He shot this coyote through two gates.
Uh-huh.
Killed it.
Nice.
opened it up.
Opened it up. Like,
yeah. It's just crazy the different – I mean, when things are in your favor, the crazy things that happen, and when things should be happening that aren't happening, it's just wild what happens.
That was the one time we didn't remember to take a picture.
Yeah.
We had hung all the coyotes from the tripods and took a picture. Mm-hmm. You can tell which one mine. My tripod is.
Yeah.
It's ding, 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 like, ding.
Who brought the youth? I know, but Daniel really messed up my video.
Why?
Like, I had, because we all ran athlons that night.
And so we had them all decked out, you know. Yeah. And I was doing this cool video and stuff, and I go to record Daniels, and he already took his gun off. I'm like, motherfucker, you know, like, it was
I
perfect.
Did a video, Athlon.
Yeah.
I should probably post that, but.
I did. All right, that's what I did. Check it out on YouTube.
So. You did it on YouTube? I'm proud of you.
Yeah. But let's go hunting, man.
Yeah, so reply to the show, by the way, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Reply to this show. And tell us about your season, thermal-wise. Was this your first season? Did you just start doing it? What was it like? What were some of the successes you had? Failures? Like, that's – I would like to hear from, you know, the listeners about how their seasons went. Because, you know, we talked to our friends, Calder, just all our friends that we talk to in general that, you know, don't come on the show, you know, all those things. But we don't hear from you guys a lot, so – that's what we want to do.
What was your most beneficial thing that you learned from the season?
Switch it to a 22-250. That was the most beneficial thing I've ever done.
That will help the listeners.
Don't shoot a 6.5 Grendel.
That's a good... Yes.
I would say preparation on our side.
No. Yeah.
Preparation and having everything.
Preparation. Yeah.
If you're doing the tournament hunting, yes. The prepping and all that. If it's just for fun... just have fun with it. Like,
for sure.
You'll go out there, you know, go till you're fucking tired and then call it a night or whatever.
That was our worst thing was this season's been a grind. I mean, all we've done is tournament hunt. We really haven't gone out and pleasure hunted
And it is a grind. Like, it's just a blast getting out there. You can goof around a little bit more.
I mean, Daniel's a perfect example. Like, they hunted in a tournament, and I think that was the first tournament he's ever hunted, and I think he felt a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
they had a bad night. Like, they missed a lot of coyotes, and
I do enjoy it wasn't great. Whatever the elements are for the weekend that you're going, I do enjoy that part on the tournament side to
test.
See, test your gear, what your.
That's where I kind of like the night I called him to come out with us. I'm like, let's just go out and have fun, you know, and we can be done when we want to be done. Yeah. And I mean,
I do
like tournaments. You know, I can't do what you do. I don't know how you do it. I mean, we're close to the same age, and I don't know how the hell you stay up for every Saturday night, every week.
I do want to give a shout-out to the Mo Night Hunters, One Night Hunters.
One Nighters,
Mo One Nighters. Check them out. I don't know if they wanted to blow up or whatever, but...
I think so.
It's pretty cool.
The online channel?
It's just a Missouri.
And what's really nice about that is the whole night, you can kind of keep track because every time somebody shoots one, they check it. You know what I mean? They're sending in what number they're at. So it gives you motivation and
shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, damn, they just got a quad. You know, we got to get going. 12,
I'm going home.
Yeah. Right.
But it gives you also an idea of how the night's going to go, too.
Yeah. So I just think that's cool what they do. It doesn't seem like it's that serious of a deal if you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
And
they do heavy stringer, you know, light stringer. It's not just the numbers to game to where a lot of it's luck on that stuff too. So that makes it nice for everybody that doesn't have a whole bunch of property to hunt.
Sure.
So yours is preparation.
I would say preparing, knowing your gear, having a system.
Yep. I think I would probably to bitch out. Say the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this year I have shot better than I've ever shot. I have called better than I've ever called. I was just more confident because I've got the same gun that I have been using now. I'm not planning on changing.
And we're getting 3 years into it now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The first year was an experience, and everybody's going
to
develop as they go.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about Wild Wild West.
See what? I mean, it was fun, but it also kind of sucked for me. I was borrowing everybody's shit, you know? Yeah. Didn't have the means to get my own at the time, so I was always counting on somebody else to come with an extra, and it kind of sucked on that front. So
it's true. Yeah, but I don't even...
Still had a good time.
I don't remember if I have a scanner my first year. I don't think I did. Did I?
No.
No, I didn't, because I bought that micro. Yeah.
Second year. But
but I think preparation is like... Preparation being shoot your gun.
Yeah. Like your equipment.
To me, what I do is I zero my thermals at 50 yards because it's easy to zero them. Because, you know, thermals are hard. And during the day.
Yeah.
Because that's when I have time to sight stuff in, right? So I'll be doing it during the day if I have a couple minutes and, you know, seeing a little piece of tinfoil at 150 yards or 200 yards or 100 yards is harder. But at 50 yards, I'm done in two shots. And then I check it, and then I'll check 100, 200. Sure. And I just feel comfortable. Like, I know what I'm going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even done my ballistics calculator and all that stuff yet, which I'm going to. But I think preparation would probably be the biggest. And then, you know, just be comfortable, like, I don't know, knowing your spots. Like, we've gotten used to our spots a little bit. We kind of know where to go. And, you know, I wish there's times that I think part of the reason, like we were talking before, like, we don't have, you know, more people down here. And I don't think we have, you know, the number of coyotes that you probably do where you're at. That's part of the reason, like, we probably don't have crazy nights is we just, I mean, and our spots just aren't like the best you can ask for. But
we've been all
make the best of your situation and go hunting.
We've been all the way from Iowa border to Butler over in Kansas, you know, Macon area.
Yeah,
I would like to go to Western Kansas.
Big areas,
it'd be fun.
Let's plan a trip.
I want to do a thermal trip or a coyote trip. Let's do it. But it can be thermal related.
If we,
I'm hoping we're going to Wyoming. We'll see. I need to get back hold of that guy.
Yeah, we do. All right, let's quit prolonging this.
Yeah, let's do it. So, hey, hope you had a good season. Good luck the rest of – go out and hunt some summer dogs, folks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm planning on doing more of this year.
The rest of this night will be brought to you by Black Flag.
You're drinking it right now. Yeah. I'm just drinking water.
Use the code MWW. Save yourself some money.
God, you're so jacked up you can't even say it.
It's good stuff, man.
All right, we're going to go hunt. Calder, thanks for coming on and doing a little – thermal season recap, just basically a thermal season recap BS session. Just having fun.
Congrats on the baby.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. See ya. Yep.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.